Also here in Washington, this is the day that General Michael Hayden takes questions about his nomination to lead the Central Intelligence Agency. His Senate hearing starts today, and it is likely to be dominated by questions about one of Hayden's previous jobs. From 1999 until last year, Hayden led the National Security Agency. That agency has been at the center of two major revelations about government eavesdropping. The New York Times reported last year that the NSA listened to international phone calls of Americans and U.S. residents without court permission. Last week, USA Today reported that the NSA also collected and analyzed many Americans' calling records. General Hayden was on Capitol Hill the day after that story broke.
Everything that the agency has done has been lawful. It's been briefed to the appropriate members of Congress that the only purpose of the agency's activities is to preserve the security and the liberty of the American people. And I think we've done that.
Both NSA programs, though, have raised legal questions, and lawyers are still battling over whether the administration or phone companies might have violated privacy laws. NPR's Larry Abramson reports.
For many attorneys, the NSA's warrantless collection of phone traffic is a slam dunk, a clear violation of decades-old telecom law. New Jersey attorney Bruce Affron is so certain he quickly filed suit against Verizon and other carriers and expects to haul in some major bucks for subscribers.
Under the Telecommunications Act, a telephone company owes a minimum of $1,000 to every person whose privacy they violate. Now, Verizon has an estimated 50 million subscribers. That leaves a damage potential of at least $50 billion against Verizon.
Others aren't so sure, and that's led to a spirited debate. Most start with the Supreme Court, which has ruled that content, what you say on the phone, does enjoy strong protections under the Constitution. But for the numbers you call, according to former federal prosecutor Paul Butler, it's pretty much open season.
Once an individual hands over information to a third party, such as a telephone company or a bank, that person loses their reasonable expectation of privacy in that data under the Fourth Amendment.
But Congress recognized that you can learn a lot about a person by tracking whom they call and email, so lawmakers passed statutes like the Stored Communications Act. It says a phone or internet service provider may not disclose subscriber information, but there are exceptions, according to attorney and former Justice Department official David Rivkin.
And that exception basically enables a provider like an AT&T or Verizon to disclose customer record information, this is a quote, to a governmental entity if a provider reasonably believes that an emergency involving immediate danger or serious physical injury to any person justifies disclosure of that information.
Rivkin says that 9/11, the deadliest attack in this nation's history, certainly ought to qualify as an emergency, but critics of NSA surveillance say an emergency is a kidnapping where subscriber information could save a life. A government fishing expedition, they say, doesn't qualify. The Telecommunications Act has another exception. Companies can give away data that is anonymous. Recent reports in USA Today say providers only supplied phone numbers, not names and addresses, and some commentators say that would provide legal cover for telecom companies. But former federal prosecutor Mark Rash says it's impossible to make a phone number truly anonymous.
You can only give out anonymous data. And I would certainly argue that if you're giving out my phone number, that's not anonymous. That identifies me.
Now, this may sound like an academic debate you'd rather not participate in, but you're likely to hear a lot more about it. In recent years, there's been a big push among law enforcement and intelligence agencies to data mine, to sift through the mountains of information that human beings leave behind in their daily lives and find meaningful patterns, meaningful for preventing crime or terrorism. But law professor Orrin Kerr of George Washington University says the law just hasn't kept up with those demands.
The government couldn't have gotten a court order to require this kind of disclosure. Court orders will say, hand over a certain set of information. And this is millions of customers' calls. And there's no court order authority that gives the government the power to do it on that kind of scale.
Of course, by the time Congress writes new laws, new technologies will likely raise additional wrinkles. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.